everyone who's here. As a mom would probably have very similar things to say about what it means to be a mother, and we just appreciate that so much. I had originally prepared a message on Dorcas, but I'm going to save that one for a couple of weeks. You usually see me come up here with a binder in my hands. I've been in ministry now for 8 years, and they told me that I would get away from doing that when some of the guys that I know very well. But I know that guys like MacArthur and Piper still walk into the pulpit with full manuscripts in their hands, and I still do it. But tonight, you've got what I've got. So this is not written word for word. I've just got a little devotional here, and I want to broaden it a little bit. I just don't want to talk about moms. I want to talk about being a parent tonight. I want to talk about the role of the father and the mother. And I want to do it from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I just want us to turn there. Just want to read the first 9 verses, ask the Lord to be with us, and just draw out a few principles from Deuteronomy chapter 6 tonight. A very familiar passage of Scripture. You should know this one if you're a parent. It's very important. I think there's some jewels here, some real treasures that God has. You know, I just want to say something. I just praise God for His Word. I mean, I praise God. This is a lamp. And it's going to teach you and me. His Word teaches us how to be parents. It says a lot to us. And I just praise God that He has not left us in the dark when it comes to being a father and mother. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all His decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door, on the door frames of your homes and on your gates. Let's just ask the Lord to be with us tonight. Father, once again, thank you and praise you so, so much for Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for salvation in Him. Thank you for your indwelling Holy Spirit who lives within us, who strengthens us and sanctifies us and sustains us and illuminates our minds and our thoughts to understand your word. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We praise you that you have given us a record, Father, a tangible truth, Lord, your divine revelation inspired by the Holy Spirit through the prophets and the apostles that you gave us in this world. Father, thank you that we can turn to the Scriptures and hear the voice of God in the Word. This is your word, Father. It's not our word. This is the Word of God. It's living and active, and we praise you for that. Lord, thank you for the testimonies of those two moms that we heard tonight and for the many others that could have stood beside them and shared very similar things about the importance of prayer, the importance, Father, of studying the Word, all those things, Father. And we just pray tonight as we just take a look a little bit in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that you'll bless our time, encourage us, help us to be better parents, help us, Lord, to understand this awesome responsibility we have. And we just give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. My first point in my introduction is the fact that parenthood is a very difficult task. It's not easy being a dad, and it's not easy being a mom. And the difficulty lies in the fact that all children are sinners. The Bible says in Psalm 51, verse 5, that David says, "Surely I was sinful from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." So they might look like precious little bundles when you take them home, but inside of them there's a principle of sin that will rebel against God and rebel even against you and your authority. And I think one of the tasks as parents is to point our children to the cross. I mean, that's the most important thing that we can do is point them to Christ, point them to the cross. We have to leave that work in God's hands, that work of salvation. It's God who saves. It's not us who saves. All we can do is pray and preach and plead and point and pattern. God saves. But nevertheless, as parents, we need to restrain the evil that's in our children. Some parents will sit back and say, "No, we just got to let our children grow up the way that they want to grow up. If you do that, then your children are going to be wild, uncontrolled." As parents, we need to restrain that sin that's inside of them. That's why God gave children parents. The difficulty lies in the fact that children will rebel. And so we need to set those boundaries and those standards that the Scripture teaches us. The Bible says in Romans 3, verse 9, that all of us are under the sentence of sin. And so that's why parenting can be so difficult. It's easy when they're small, but when they get to those teenage years and sometimes they start to challenge you a little bit more, that's when parenting can be very, very hard. Let me just encourage you, if you're parents of teenagers that are going through hard times, stay close to Christ, stay in His Word, find your strength and comfort in the Scriptures. God will give you grace, God will give you strength. You need to just do that. It's also, parenting is very important. I mean, their future, the future of our kids, strongly depends on the examples that we set before them. Now, it doesn't guarantee that if you set the right example before your kids, that your kids are going to follow the Lord. We know many godly parents that have lived their lives for Christ and their kids aren't following God. We know that. And that's just a fact of life. But I can guarantee you that if you don't set the right pattern for your children will not grow to know and love the Lord. And we saw that this morning with Micah's mother, didn't we? In Judges 17. Micah's mother didn't set the proper example and it had an adverse effect in the life of Micah himself. She shared a faith with him that was a compromised faith, a faith that said, well, I'll take Jehovah this much, but I'm also going to keep all these other gods in my life. You contrast Micah's mother to Samuel's mother. And I've just been going through the book of 1 Samuel. Samuel's mother, Hannah, was a great mom. And she was a woman who prayed. She was a woman who sought the face of God. You just have to read 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2. Listen to this woman's prayer of praise in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And you'll see that this was a woman who knew God. She knew Him. She trusted Him. She praised Him. She understood His ways. She dedicated her son to the Lord. And Samuel was a man who walked with God all the days of his life. He judged Israel all the days of his life. And so it is a very important task, this task of being a father and a mother. It's difficult, but it's very important because their future strongly depends on the kind of examples that we set for them. You heard from Moira tonight. You heard from Deb tonight. The example that they've tried to set before their kids. We can't get discouraged. It's like that story I was sharing with you this morning about that young girl who was pushing her mother's buttons all the time, trying to cross the line, and finally the mother just gave up. She just got tired and she just let the girl do whatever she wanted to do, and finally the girl just went wild. It's a very important task. And it's a serious task. I don't think there's a greater enterprise in life as parents than investing yourself in your children's lives. Nothing more important than that. I've said to Tatiana and my boys all the time through our married life that the most important person I need to pour my life into is my wife. And you heard it from Deb tonight, you heard it from Moira tonight, that your kids are with you for only this short little window. You've only got them for, what, 20, 25 years at the most? And sometimes parents will just focus all of their energies into their kids, and when their kids leave, the man looks at his wife and says, "Who are you? I don't know you anymore." They grow apart in their marriage. One of the things I tell these young people that I'm counseling for marriage is, listen, the most important relationship in marriage is not the relationship of the father and the mother with their children. It's the relationship of the father and the mother with themselves. And as you're raising your kids, you can't lose sight of being together and loving each other and spending time with each other and getting to know each other. You've got to cultivate that relationship with your spouse. It's absolutely essential. It's important that your kids see that. It's important that your kids still see that you're in love with your spouse, that you love being with them. I mean, that is so important for kids to see. But then you need to invest your time into your children. You know, when I was on the police department, I used to work with guys that couldn't wait to get away from their families. I mean, they just couldn't wait to get to work. They just couldn't wait to meet with the guys after work and go out to the bars and have a good time with their buddies. I couldn't wait to get home. I couldn't wait till the day was over and I could drive up those country roads towards Nestleton and get home to my wife and to my kids. I loved it. It is such an important task, a serious task, to invest your life into them. So how can we be godly parents? Well, I think Deuteronomy chapter 6 gives us all kinds of wise counsel. I wish I could spend a whole bunch of time tonight looking at some of this. But the first thing I want to talk about is the parents' proper life. There must be a reverence. Take a look at Deuteronomy 6, verse 1 to 3. Let me read those verses. "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all His decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life." There's got to be a reverence. If you're going to be the kind of parent that's going to have a good influence in your children's lives, and you must learn to fear God yourself. I mean, there's got to be a reverence of God in your life. And I want to say something here tonight. The fear of God is a blessing of the new covenant.
You know, in our unregenerate state, we don't fear God. We're not afraid of Him. We don't respect Him. We don't fear Him. Turn to Romans chapter 3. You see that so clearly taught. Romans chapter 3. Let's look at what Paul says there. Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. He's talking about people under sin. He's talking about people in their unregenerate state. They haven't been born of God's Spirit. They haven't been born again. And he says in verse 9, what shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We've already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there's no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They've together become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. In the way of peace they do not know. Now listen, there is no fear of God before their eyes. That's what I was like before I was saved. That's what you were like before you were saved. No fear of God before our eyes. Listen to what he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 8. Let's flip over those few chapters. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 8. Paul's talking about us in our sinful state. He says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live according with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. We don't fear God in our unregenerate state. Our sinful minds are hostile to Him. They reject Him. They run away from Him. But in the new covenant, God does something in the believer's life. He inspires us to fear Him. So the fear of God is not something you and I work up. The fear of God is a result of having the indwelling Spirit live within us. And I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 32. I love these verses talking about what God's going to do in His people's lives. Jeremiah 32 and verse 38. This is the work of God's grace. Jeremiah 32 verse 38. A blessing, this fear of God of being a blessing of the new covenant. Listen to what the Lord says here. Jeremiah 32 verse 38. They will be my people, and I will be their God. Listen now. Listen, God speaking here. I will give them singleness of heart and action, so that they will always fear me for their own good, and for the good of their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them. That's what God says. Isn't that great? Never stop doing good to us. And I will inspire them to fear me, so that they'll never turn away from me. I will rejoice in doing them good and will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and soul. What's God saying? God is saying that He is at work within us to inspire us to fear Him and to love Him and to serve Him and to trust Him. That is a blessing of the new covenant. If you're in Christ, that's what God's doing in your heart. If you want to be a good parent, you need to fear God. God is doing that work inside of you so that you will never turn away from Him. That's what we were talking about in Sunday school this morning. The fact that when God saves a sinner, He doesn't save him for a little while. He saves them forever. He's always at work within us to inspire us to fear Him and to serve Him. And the fear of God always leads to purity of life. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Listen to what Paul says there. So if you want to be a good parent, you got to learn to fear God. And God is doing that inside of you, but you need to pursue Him in that. And it'll lead to purity of life. Paul says this. He says, since then we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Right? It's the fear of God that leads us to a holy lifestyle, that leads us to purify ourselves from all those things that contaminate our minds and our hearts and our bodies, so that we perfect holiness out of reverence for God. So if you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses is writing here that he says, I'm giving you these commandments, these decrees, these laws, so that you may learn to fear God as long as you live by keeping His decrees. And so that's the first thing that I want to stress tonight. For parents, as parents, if you are a parent or if you're going to be a parent in the future by God's grace, learn to fear God. That's what He's doing in your heart. It's a blessing of the new covenant. Ask Him to increase your fear of Him, because it will lead to purity of life when you understand who He is
and what He's done. You will love Him and serve Him. Well, not only must there be a reverence, there must also be a response. Look at what it says in verse 3. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. So not only must there be a reverence in their lives, but there's got to be a response in our lives. You and I have to hear the word of God. That's what He says. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey. So listen to God's word. There's got to be that private hearing, right? There's got to be that private meditation on Scripture. And both Deb and Maura talked about it tonight, how God's word was a light for them. The Bible says in Psalm 1, my favorite psalm, blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. You want to be a good parent? You got to meditate on the word of God. It's got to become a part of you. How are you going to get to know God unless you read Scripture? How are you going to get to know what God requires of you unless you read His word? I mean, that's one of the greatest things that's lacking in our churches today. Believers are not pouring themselves into the Scriptures on a day-by-day basis. I would shrivel up spiritually, even as your pastor, even as I prepare messages, if I didn't spend private time alone in the Word of God myself. When I was in Bible school, I've shared this with you so many times. When I was in Bible school, for the 5 years that I was there, I mean, God used my chapels to change me. He used my theology professors to change me. But the greatest thing that God used to change me was a time of prayer with these guys where we studied the Word together and prayed with each other. God used that to change my life. And ever since I've been a believer, God has used His Word to transform my life. So you need to hear the Word of God privately, but you also need to hear the Word of God publicly. I love Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1 and 2. It's right after the book of Proverbs. You just go there for a second. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 specifically. Wisdom of Solomon, even in the book of Ecclesiastes. Talking about this private hearing, but also this public hearing. Listen to what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1. He says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen, rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who don't know that they do wrong. What's your attitude? What should be your attitude when you come to church on Sunday? You should come to church to listen. Draw near to listen. Draw near to say, Lord, what are you going to speak to me about today? What are you going to teach me from your word? You know, I've got a friend who's a pastor. He's a very dear friend of mine. And one man in his church is a thorn in this pastor's flesh. Every time the pastor gets up to preach, this man in his congregation sits there and evaluates his sermon. Writes down notes about the bad things he's doing in his messages and regularly tells him about all the bad things he's doing as he preaches. And so I told my friend, I said, take Ecclesiastes 5 verse 1 and write it down in a nice card and give it to him. Say, lovingly from your pastor, when you go to the house of God, guard your steps. Go near to listen, rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who don't know what they're doing is wrong. God has a message. Just be listening. No pastor is perfect. No message and sermon is ever perfect. But if you come to church with this attitude of receiving from God, you're going to receive something from the Lord. God is going to teach you something. That's why Paul could say to Timothy, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions. We need to hear the word of God if we're going to be good parents. We also need to heed the word of God if we're going to be good parents. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. Jesus here talking about building a house. I love these words, the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. See, there's no break there. You hear the word of God, but it doesn't stop there. You hear the word and you put them into practice. Those who hear it and put them into practice are like wise men who build their houses on the rock. The rain comes down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. What's he saying? It's not enough to hear the word of God.
You got to hear the Word of God. You got to put it into practice. When you put it into practice, you're building your house on a solid foundation. You're hearing and you're heeding the Word of God. That's what we need to do as parents. My primary responsibility is not to teach or to change my kids. My primary responsibility is to ask God to change me so that I can be an instrument that He can use to change my kids. If you're not being changed by God yourself, how can you be a light to your children? If you're not a man or a woman who fears God, how can you be pointing your children to the cross? I talked about it this morning, hypocrisy and duplicity. Your kids will see that in you. You say one thing like Micah's mother did. She had a Jekyll and Hyde tongue. She said one thing and she did another thing. And if that's the way we're living in our families, our kids will never learn to love God or respect Him because we're not setting the proper example. Secondly, the parents' proper love. We need to love God. We need to love Him. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And that's the way that you and I are to love God. We're to love God because loving God transforms us as parents. I put that Bible verse there, Jeremiah 18, verse 1 to 6, where the Lord says to Jeremiah, I want you to go down to the potter's house and I want you to watch what the potter's going to do. And Jeremiah gets there. And what does he see the potter do? He sees the potter take this clay and puts it on the potter's wheel. He starts shaping this pottery. He's making it like clay. And I can imagine this clay is just sitting on the potter's wheel and the potter's pressing down on this one part of the pottery and puts an indentation in it. And I mean, if the clay could speak, it could probably say, ow, that one hurt. It'll hurt when you put your hand in that part of my clay. And God is saying to the nation of Israel, I'm your potter. I'm the one who's going to change your life. And sometimes God has to touch us in places that really hurts us. And yet when we love God, we trust Him. We say, Lord, whatever You have to do to change me, to smooth off all those edges of my character, to make me more like Christ, will You do it, Lord? Touch me in those places. That's a hard prayer to pray. Because God will touch you in those places. God is going to put you in those situations where He's going to touch you. And you're going to find yourself resisting God at first. And you'll learn to submit yourself to Him and say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to fight anymore. I'm not going to resist You anymore. I'm just going to surrender my life to You. I'm going to let You do what You want. And you've got this peace inside now because you're not struggling with God anymore. You're not fighting Him every step of the way. You're not doing what Jonah did when God told him to go down to Tarshish and he went the other way to Joppa. You say, okay, Lord, whatever it is You want to do in my life, I'm willing You to do it. That's a hard prayer to pray, guys, but we got to get there as parents. You say, Lord, okay, You put me on that potter's wheel. You change me so that I can be an instrument that You can use to change my kids. That's how I'm going to love You, and through You, You're going to do a work in my kids' lives. And finally, there's the parents' proper lessons. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we have to store the Word of God within us. Listen to what Moses says in verse 6. He says, these commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. They're to be upon your hearts. That's where it's supposed to be. You've got to store up the Word of God yourself. You can't teach your children something that you don't know. You can't let the church be... The church is not the primary instrument that God's going to use to teach your children. That's your responsibility if you're a father. It's your responsibility if you're a mother. That's why Pastor Noel read Deuteronomy chapter 6 tonight. I mean, not Deuteronomy. Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. Because in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4, he says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, what? Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That is your responsibility as a father. It's your responsibility as a mother to take the Word of God and to teach your children what God says. You just read Psalm 78 and how they were supposed to, the nation of Israel was supposed to take God's Word and teach them to their children and to their children after them so that they would know God's Word, so they would obey God's Word. But a lot of the people stopped doing that, and that's why the nation of Israel just turned away so quickly from God. They didn't know His Word. They had no idea, but the Bible says that that word is supposed to be inside of me first. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. I've got to store up the Word of God in my life. I've got to come to the Scripture and say, Lord, help me to understand Your Word. Help me to read it that I might be changed. And then and only then can I share the Word of God. Verse 7 says this. It says, impress them on your children. I love that word, impress. Impress them on your children. I mean, to me, impression there is a lot more than talking, right? Impressing carries this idea that there's a big influence by the way I'm living my life. My kids should be able to look at me and be impressed. Impressed about who God is. Impressed about what God requires because they look at me and they look at my wife and they say, I see what God requires because I see it in my dad. I see it in my mom. That's how you impress the Word of God in their lives. There's got to be that impression. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 for a second. I love Paul's words here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm not going to read the whole 12 verses. I'm just going to read verse 10 to 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I love this passage of Scripture. It is so good. I mean, you listen to the heart of the Apostle Paul here. Listen to verse 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 to 12. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. What's he saying? Impression. That's what he's talking about. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. I mean, look at verse 10. You are witnesses, and so is God, Paul's saying, of how holy and righteous and blameless we were among you who believed. That's the way you and I should be as parents. I should be able to say to my kids, guys, Joshua, Nathan, you are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy and righteous and blameless your mother and I have lived our lives before you all the days that we've had you as our kids. You are witnesses of that. That's what Moses is saying in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, impress them on your children. They've got to see it inside of us. None of us are perfect. I said that this morning. None of us can say that we're without sin. We all sin. But we've got to make that impression. Then we can instruct our kids. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, it says in verse 7 again, it says, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. You know, even after church today, Tatiana and I and the boys were having lunch. Right after lunch, we sat down in the living room and gave cards to my good wife and their good mom. And after that was all done, the four of us just sat around and talked about the Word of God. That's all we did. It wasn't planned. It was spontaneous. We just sat there for 20 minutes to half an hour talking about God's Word, encouraging each other in the faith, building each other up in the faith. That's what we're supposed to be doing. I mean, there needs to be a plan instruction. I believe that. When our kids were small, we had times where we had family devotions. We taught the children the Word of God. We instructed them in the Word. When they got older and I got more busy, sometimes we couldn't do that to always as a family. We couldn't have that planned time where we instructed our kids. But that spontaneous instruction has always been there. It's been there ever since the time our kids have been small. I mean, we seldom get together as a family when the four of us are together and not talk about Christ. Not talk about Scripture. We talk about all. We were at a restaurant last night. My family took me out to a restaurant to celebrate my birthday. And then we're talking about God. Talking about Scripture. It's spontaneous. If you love Jesus, you're going to talk about Him. If you love the Word of God, you're going to talk about Him. You're going to talk about Him with your kids. And when your kids love Jesus, they want to talk about Him too. And that's what we need to do as parents. As parents, we need to live a proper life, don't we? We need a proper reverence for God and a proper response to God, fearing Him and listening to His Word and taking heed to His Word, obeying. We need to love God. We need to love Him more than we love ourselves. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. The more I get to know Jesus Christ, the more I fall in love with Him. In these last few weeks in my life, I've just been, again, enamored by the great grace of Christ. And there have been times I've been just saying, Lord Jesus, how can I not respond to You? How can I not respond to You because of what You've done for me? It is the greatest act of blasphemy, I believe, for a Christian who's been redeemed by the blood of Christ to turn away from that cross and live for himself. That is blasphemy. No question about it. We need to love God because He's loved us. And in terms of the lessons, we need to store the Word of God in our hearts. And we need to share the Word of God with our kids by impression and by instruction. Let me challenge your dads and moms tonight. We've all made mistakes. I'm the first one to admit I haven't been a perfect father. I know I've made mistakes as my kids were growing up. I know that. I wish I could sometimes turn the clock back and say, okay, I know that I'm not going to do that anymore. I've learned that lesson. I'm not going to do that. But listen, we need to just do our best, right? Do our best. And we can only do our best as we
come to know the Lord better, come to know His Word better, and seek to live our lives for His glory. Let me just challenge you to keep on doing that this Mother's Day. You may have small kids in your home and you're saying, Lord, how am I going to take these kids through their teenage years? Well, guys, this is going to be your answer. Right here. You go to the Word. You ask God and to teach you and fear Him and love Him and point your kids in the right direction. Let's pray. Father,